Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take another look at Venus's upcoming conjunction with Pluto. This is the second major conjunction of another planet with Pluto this week. First, we had Mars. And just as Mars is separating, here comes Venus to conjoin Pluto. We started off by looking at the context that Venus finds herself in right now in order to specify, you know, get more specific about what type of Venus-Pluto conjunction we've got going on right now. Given that Venus and Pluto are in Aquarius, that there's this strong Mercury-Saturn connection underneath, that Venus is still very prominent in a lot of the other dignities in the sky. So after doing that, today we're going to just put Venus and Pluto in a vacuum, and we're going to talk about them and their archetypal combination apart from the greater context. So together we should have a really full and well-rounded understanding of this conjunction that's coming through. So that's what we're doing today. Before we get into it, don't forget to tappity-tap the like button, slappity-slap the like button. Share your comments and reflections. We'd love to hear from you guys as always. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks, including today's, on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. Hey, guess what? If you are interested in learning more about Venus and Pluto, I have a webinar that is happening tonight. It's not too late to register. And if you can't make it live, we send you the recording afterward. If you go to nightlightastrology.com and click on the live events tab, or go up to the events drop-down menu and click on live events, either way, it'll take you to the same place. And that is over to a new page that I have where you'll find that I am doing a once monthly webinar open to the public. You don't have to be an enrolled student of Nightlight to participate in these courses. These are meant for students of all levels, a little bit more beginner friendly, but the topics are specific enough that they could really be accessible for beginners as well as more advanced or intermediate students. Tonight is the first of three talks I'll be doing, one in February, one in March, one in April, on the outer planets and the way that they show up in love and relationships. So tonight we're going to be looking at Pluto in love. And this is actually ideal for the day on which we're seeing Venus and Pluto come together in the sky. You know, that wasn't intentional. When I set it up, I looked and I went, oh my God, look at that. All right, well, you know, you just get a little wink sometimes from the stars, and you're like, okay, well, I guess the timing is right. So anyway, tonight we're going to be looking at Pluto in love. Webinar is from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can register right there on the website, and we send you the live link to join the webinar. And then if you can't make it live, even if you can, afterward, we send everyone who's registered a link to download the video to your device so you can keep it and watch it on your own time if you can't make it live. So tonight we're going to be looking at a really comprehensive talk about the archetypal Pluto and the way that it affects the significations of love and relationships through the birth chart placements and also through transits, how to work with them, all of the different major themes that Pluto tends to bring up and why. And again, how do you work with this planet when it's affecting love and relationships? So anyway, I hope to see some of you there. If you have any questions, feel free to email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, let's take a look. We've got Venus and Pluto in a bit of an archetypal vacuum today. We're sort of isolating them in order to expand upon the conversation that we started yesterday. So here I have it on February 15th. And what I want you to notice is there's Venus at 2841 here Thursday morning, February 15th. And I'm going to just fast forward this by one day to show you what happens. And actually, you know what, I'll put a circle around them so you can see. You can see Mars is just separating from Pluto, so we've gone, you know, sort of like out of the frying pan and into the fire. You can fast forward this tomorrow, February 16th, Friday. We're getting to the point where Venus is about to cross into Aquarius, and we'll start conjoining Pluto at 0 degrees. Then flash forward to Saturday morning, February 17th, and the conjunction has completed itself and is now separating. We get that 3 degrees of separation that was really important to consider all the way until Monday, February 19th. So if you back that up, that's about Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, spicy, and then all the way until February 19th. So the 15th through the 19th is the transit zone that I would look at. But really, today, February 13th, 14th, excuse me, February 15th, today, 16th, tomorrow, and 17th, Saturday, are the days that I'm really paying attention to as probably the most potent and expressive of the Venus-Pluto dynamic. Sorry, I can't talk. All right. So we're going to talk about the five most basic ways that you can usually see Venus and Pluto when they come together. And this will actually form some of these points we'll be expanding and elaborating upon greatly in great detail tonight in the webinar. So you can join us. Because Venus-Pluto is going to be one of the ways we talk about Venus, and we talk about Pluto in the way that Pluto affects love and relationships. So what is number one on the list? And these aren't necessarily in order, but if there was an order, this would be number one. And it is a boiling or eruption point in love and relationships. It could be a work relationship. Often it's love and romance. It could be with women or sisters, Venus significations, but really any kind of relationship. And this is like, it's an eruption or boiling point, which means that the heat has been moving it toward this boiling point for a while, where the pressures have been mounting and the eruption point has been in process for a while. So it's something that has history behind it, where tensions in relationships reach this point of critical mass, where it's like, okay, now something has to happen. And that could be a very positive thing. For example, let's just say that there's a lot of sexual tension in a relationship, but you're keeping it sort of platonic for whatever reason. Maybe it's in the workplace and it's inappropriate. You know what I mean? Something like very Plutonian, very taboo. There's a lot of taboo involved with when Pluto gets involved with Venus. Like, ooh, this is forbidden. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't matter. That sexual tension, it gets to the point where it cannot be held back anymore. And all of a sudden you're making out on top of the copy machine. But it could be that it's tremendously stressful, as in you're subtly taking jabs at each other in a relationship, and then all of a sudden it reaches a point where, you know, someone slams their cell phone on the counter and says, "That's it, I've had it." So you could see a moment, and it often happens when Venus and Pluto get together in any kind of aspect. Maybe the trines and sextiles, not quite as much, but squares, conjunctions, and oppositions for sure. And these two planets, when they get together, represent a moment where underlying tension that has not been made conscious, or it has not been consciously expressed or actively asserted, suddenly is being actively asserted. It could be an attraction, a desire, it could be a conflict. You just think about that quality of something Venusian that's been trapped in the underground or underneath or unconscious or something like that, and it just goes boom. Well, you know, sometimes that's fun. So, sometimes that's spicy and fun, and sometimes it's destructive. And even when it's fun, sometimes it's destructive. So that is number one. Watch for Venus boiling over, exploding out of the underground, the underworld. Now, number two is similar, but it's a little bit more specific. It's an exploration of the sexual unconscious. The sexual unconscious might be about your desires. It doesn't have to be. When I say sexual unconscious, I almost wanted to say about the desire body or something like that. But what I mean is, what do we want? What do we desire for the sake of happiness or pleasure? Now, that could be sexual and is often relational, but it could also be about something like food. Let me give you an example. When people go, and we've seen this a lot over the years as we owned a yoga studio for a long time, people go through I'm only going to eat fruit for 7 days. I'm going to go on a fruit cleanse or something like this. I'm going to shove coffee up my ass and only eat kiwis.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to cough. Sorry. Hold on.
I swear to God, I've been getting over the cold that never ends. Oh my God, that really made me laugh. Very Venus Pluto, very inappropriate thing to say. But that's, you know, they do something like that. And then what happens the day after they're done? It's like Little Caesars. You know what I mean? Give me two full pies. Give me the wings and the cheesy bread. And a 2 liter of Pepsi. People swing. This has happened to me. So I'm not sitting in judgment of people who have gone through this, by the way, because it's happened to me. You do some great elimination cleanse. You're like, I'm floating with the bodhisattvas. I'm so clean. And then all of a sudden your desire body is like, fuck you. Give me some French fries. And so you swing through this, you swing to the opposite pole. When the sexual or desire, the desires or impulses or libidinal impulses or the creative impulses have been pent up or repressed or trapped, or you've been trying to nice them away with your kiwis, and Venus Pluto comes through and all of a sudden it's game over. You just have to let it rip and enjoy what you want to enjoy. And, you know, you can quote Mary Oliver's Wild Geese, "Let the soft animal of my body love what it loves as you are shoving Cajun fries down your face." Oh, God. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just having fun with this. Look, it might be that in your relationship, you've been working through trauma and you have had a resistance to going certain places in intimacy, you know, in your intimacy or your love life. And all of a sudden it's like, you know what, I'm going to go there. I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to try to open myself to my partner in a new way. It can be very healing. It can be about just honoring and recognizing that you like something really simple. You know what, I actually really like this. For me, it's always something that my wife shows me that at first I'm like, I'm not going to like this. This is stupid. And then I'm like, oh, I like this. It's often like a TV show that she likes or something. Well, sometimes it's nothing more than allowing yourself or recognizing that something in you loves something, enjoys something. You have a taste for something, and it's just about recognizing it. Sometimes it's also about recognizing that there are unhealthy or uncontrollable impulses that you need to seriously look at. Oh my God, I drink too much. Or, you know, oh my God, there's some impulse that I can't control. I feel a little possessed and crazy because there's this thing. So any exploration of desires and the creative or sexual or libidinal impulse in general and its relation to what is in the unconscious, suddenly becoming aware of it. That is a very Venus-Pluto kind of dynamic. All right, number three, power, wealth, greed, attraction, and desire. I remember the very first time I saw the movie Wall Street. Have you guys ever seen that? Gordon Gekko, and he was played by, oh, what is his freaking name? Michael Douglas, I think is his name. Yeah. Anyway, he says something like greed is good or something like that. And he's, you know, he's the ultimate sort of playboy sleazebag archetype, but he's also very powerful and very wealthy. And let's be honest, there are a ton of people, and lest we forget ourselves and forget to be humble, any of us could find someone like Gordon Gekko at any point in time very attractive and enticing, especially if they're starting to offer us a share or taste of wealth, power, success, fame. It also, it seems like, you know, from the position of our Tuesday or Thursday morning sweatpants, it's like, well, I'm not interested in greed and wealth and, yeah, but if something came by and was like, hey, I could change your whole life, give you a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of success, I could completely change everything about your life. Well, you would just be like, oh, no, thanks. I'm fine. Me and my sweatpants, we're good. I don't know, but Venus Pluto will bring up, it's like, let's just put it this way. You'll be tempted by the dark side. That is a very Venus Pluto dynamic. Pluto means riches. Pluto is about darkness and depth. And Venus is about what shines and sparkles and creates a sense of beauty. Venus is famous. One of the ways that she is described in ancient mythology is that she is the embodiment of fame because of her beauty, because of her elegance, because of her radiance. Because of her intelligence, she's considered a very intelligent goddess. So a combination of beauty and intelligence, especially in Aquarius, right? And then you hit Pluto and you get those subterranean themes of, you know, tremendous Shakti and power. And look, none of those things are wrong or bad in and of themselves, especially when those powers are sort of used for good. You know what I mean? There's virtue and humility and love and laughter connected to those themes and qualities. You know, being in touch with things that are beautiful and powerful are not inherently bad. But there is almost always a way in which as we get to know those qualities and as we come in contact with them, just like, I think as the Star Wars geek, I think of Luke Skywalker learning the Force. There's something wrong with the Force, but he has to work with the temptations of the dark side of the Force as he learns to be a channel or medium for such powerful energies. Venus and Pluto is the very same way. You will find that a Venus-Pluto partner shows up, and you know, maybe the like level one of a Venus-Pluto transit is like, hey, look, I met someone who is very sexy, very well educated, very powerful. They beat animals. I'm sorry, that's terrible. There's something really dark about them. I hope to God no one has ever met someone like that. It sounds awful. But I mean, that's the kind of thing of Venus Pluto. It's like, oh, geez, this person is like very shiny, very sparkly, very powerful, very seductive. There's something a little evil. There's something a little not right here. So that's a Venus Pluto dynamic. And there's a way we have to work with those energies, because coming in contact with power, as people have said from so many different traditions over thousands of years, you know, working with power is it's tricky, you know, because there's temptation, there's hubris, there's especially in Aquarius, like we want to play God, you know, so got to be very careful about that. We want relationships with the gods. We get to be ourselves when we do that, and it turns out that that's actually the sweetest and best place to be. The gods want to be human. We want to be like the gods. Things seem to work better when there's not envy involved in wanting to be some other kind of being than the one we are. And Venus Pluto can tempt us to want to be like other people, people who have wealth or people who have something that we don't, that we look at and we say, oh, that's attractive. Number four, eroticism, depth, power, creativity, fertility, and fear. You know, one of the most amazing things, now let's flip it a little bit. You get in touch with Venus Pluto and you get in touch with an energy that is, oh, so creative. It is the power of a great musician to just, you know, transmit, improvise. It is the power of someone with an amazing singing voice, or someone who can get into character and play it so well on stage or in film. It is the power of romance when it's true and deep and profound, and it starts shifting the whole earth around you. Venus Pluto is so powerful, and even though so many of the powers associated with Venus Pluto are positive, you're having a different kind of sex. You've never had this kind before. And oh my God, is it good? But guess what? It makes you afraid. It makes you afraid. Am I going to lose this? Oh my gosh. Venus Pluto puts you in touch with new people, new groups, new situations, and it is powerful. But oh my God, am I capable? Am I mature enough to handle it? Venus Pluto gives you new responsibility, new power, new wealth. It puts you in touch with creative abilities that you didn't think, you didn't think they were for you, but here they are, and you're afraid. Venus Pluto, one of the things that's really amazing, and it's my least favorite thing, because it's like, it's such a new age cliche. You know what? You're afraid of your own greatness. You're afraid of how magnificent you are. No, you're not. You're just a jerk. I'm just playing. But this is the way Venus and Pluto can be. Did you know that you have something to be really, really happy? I mean, this is an opportunity in business, an opportunity in love, a creative opportunity, a power, or something about you that you're seeing, or it's always been there, but now it's coming up, and it is truly magnificent, and it scares you because you don't know if you're capable of handling it. So, there's a way in which courage is required, even when good things happen, even when powerful, beautiful things are somehow just pouring forth from the Plutonian depths, or just coming up and here's this amazing fountain of creative opportunity. And you're like, oh, that's a thing. That's a Venus Pluto thing. So you got to step into it, you know? All right, number five, it has to hurt if it's to heal. And, you know, I think this actually comes from, this phrase comes from the Neverending Story. There's like this little cave that Atreyu goes to get some healing after he comes out of the swamps of sadness, if you guys know the story. And there's like a little elf, or two little elves. And the woman is she's like, It reminds me almost identically of the two characters in Princess Bride who live in the tree, Billy Crystal and his wife. They're like similar archetypes. Anyway, so they're arguing, you know, the husband and wife are arguing, and she's like the healer and she's giving him all this stuff. And anyway, she says it has to hurt if it's to heal. So if you know the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a Venus-Pluto dynamic. Venus is the healer. I mean, you don't think of Venus that way because you typically think of Venus as everything to do with beauty and luxury and, like, I don't know, enjoyment and pleasure and sensuality. But the other thing that Venus broadly represents is good fortune. And good fortune includes a wound being healed, going from sick to feeling better. Those were all significations of Venus. Both benefics could broadly represent things going from worse to better, which includes healing. Venus-Pluto brings healing, especially after Mars-Pluto has just come through, right? Venus-Pluto comes through and says, all right, you know, you went through something turbulent this week, and now we're going to bring some kind of salve, a healing remedy. But Venus-Pluto's healing remedy is, I'm actually drinking right now some tea that Ashley made for me. Tastes like sticks. tastes like funky earth. But I know it's good for me because my wife made it and she's a witch and I love her. So you get what I mean? It's it has to hurt if it's to heal is a Venus Pluto saying. This is good for you. This will feel good, but it might hurt a little bit. There's a might taste just a little bit bitter. This comes from the underworld. It's full of sticks and mud. That's good. That's a good thing. All right. Well, I've been having a lot of fun today, but I hope not at anybody's expense who's out there having a hard time. If anything, I hope that my inability to contain myself today, and maybe if it's been a little bit inappropriate, has at least embodied the archetype. And I look forward to visiting with all of you tonight at the webinar. If you want to come out, don't forget to go over to the website, click on the live events tab, and you can join the webinar this evening on the presence of Pluto in love and relationships, a really appropriate webinar, I think, for the transit of the week here. And I hope to see some of you there. And in the meantime, we will continue our daily talks tomorrow. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.